It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ. Also available on the web at www.radio2rdj.com. I'm Lee Stark.
I am Gary Stark. Good evening to you all. Welcome to the Gadget Grill on this beautiful, hot Sunday evening. How have you been?
I've been hot. I've been sweating. There's no gadget I can use to wipe up my sweat fast enough.
Maybe you should get that the fan.
That USB tie.
We had a couple of weeks ago.
I should get one of those in. I should get it back and I should turn it on and let the sweat blow all over the shed and anything else I can find.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Peter and I would love that. Your sweat all over the shed.
Yeah, get some windscreen wipers put into it.
Oh, okay. I could get some.
USB windscreen wipers
for my glasses.
For your glasses, yeah. I used to have some glasses that did that. I think I probably threw them out.
Understandably.
Yeah, they had yellow lights on them as well.
You're listening to the Gadget Grill. What do we got tonight, Lee?
Tonight on the menu, we're talking about Bluetooth. We're talking about all the things Bluetooth can be used for.
We're not talking about what happens when you get some blue paint and you paint your teeth. This has nothing to do with dentists.
And we're not talking about what happens when you bite into a blue-tongued lizard, no. We're talking about the Bluetooth technology, what it's used for, how easy is it to set up, and would you believe it's pretty much in probably most things you have in your home? Like, just you probably don't realize
I have it in my shoes, in my shoe phone.
You have a shoe phone? Why, do you get that from Get Smart or something?
Yeah.
You walk through hundreds of doors and you finally got it? Do you have some music I can cue?
Haven't I shown you that yet?
Yeah, that's the secret part of the home that you won't tell me about. That's why my room is so small.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. We're talking about Bluetooth. Plus, we're talking about a gadget later on tonight. We've got a gadget in that we've had for review, which is really sweet.
It is a very nice gadget. I've certainly been playing with it this week, and I enjoy playing with toys, as you know.
Yeah, too much. I get home, and the gadget is sitting there waiting to be reviewed, and it's already been reviewed by my producer. And
it's been the review has been written. It is there.
Pain in the ass. That's my job. You know, geez, just take my job away from me. It's okay. The one thing I have to look forward to.
What, playing with toys?
Yes.
Yeah. We'll stop there.
We'll stop there.
Let's play some music.
Let's play some music. This is Shimmer, Don't Trip on Your Way Out. Just what the hell you think you're doing, coming in at 2 a.m. without a message or a phone call. It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ. Also available on the web at www.radio2rdj.com. And if you're wanting to hear about anything we're talking about on the show or any of our past shows, or you want to listen to some of our really cool podcasts, head to www.gadgetgrill.com.au. Right now we've got some news.
We do.
I think I'll go first, actually.
Why don't you go first?
I think I'll go first. I'm sure I've got some news along here. There's a new interesting development in 3D. This was one that you don't know about. I haven't told you about yet, so I'm going to spring it on him as well.
Well, it's news to me.
That's news to you. Some new technology has come out, developed by a pair of students, that basically tracks people in buildings. Think of it as 3D GPS that goes through buildings.
Oh, so this is the stuff you see on the American TV shows.
Yeah, on all those TV shows and all those video games where, you know, the Splinter Cell agent sits there and goes, oh, I can see right through. Well, someone's actually developed it, and they've got it running on an HP iPac Messenger phone.
iPac?
Yeah, an iPac, the new iPacs. Yeah. So it's Windows capable, and it's a 3D system, and, you know, it's pretty cool. The downside is it requires to have the building plans already on the device. So it's not as brilliant as you think it is, but it still has a lot of uses for security. And tracking people in that sort of way is really cool.
Very good. While we're on the subject of students and stuff like that, how about 9-year-old Lim Ding Wen from Singapore?
Can you say that again as fast as possible, please?
That again as fast as possible,
please.
Can
you say his name?
Lim Ding Wen. You've got to be careful with that.
Yeah, you would.
Well, he's 9 years old. He's from Singapore. While most children his age sketch on paper with crayons, he has a very different canvas. He sketches on his iPhone. He's in the fourth grade in Singapore, and he writes applications for Apple's iPhone.
That's cool.
Isn't it? His newest program is a painting program, which is called Doodle Kids. That you got to be careful with a name like that, I think.
Both the names, yeah.
Yep. It's been downloaded over 4,000 times from the iTunes store in a couple of weeks, and it lets iPhone users draw with their fingers by touching
Thanks for slicking me off. Yeah. That's nice.
By touching the iPhone's touchscreen. And you can clear the screen by shaking the phone.
That's not exactly an easy program to develop. You've got to give him credit, because the easiest programs to develop are the ones that are selling millions of at the moment, and they are the fart applications, currently selling millions to stupid people who seem to buy them for some reason. Why are you buying a fart program? No, this is a cool idea.
Isn't it?
I think this kid's great.
Yeah, he wrote the program for his younger sisters who like to draw. His kid sisters are 3 and 5. Apparently, this kid is fluent in 6 programming languages. And he started using the computer at the age...
Wait. 6 programming languages?
Yeah.
Whoa.
And he started using the computer at the age of 2.
Holy lookout, Bill Gates.
Yeah.
My God.
He has since completed about 20 programming projects. Needless to say, his father is a chief technology officer at a local technology firm in Singapore, and his dad also writes iPhone applications. Well, isn't that cool?
You didn't see that one coming, that his dad was so high up in that, but wow, that is amazing.
Isn't it good on him?
That's a great skill. Speaking of Apple, Apple stores in America are doing something kind of interesting. You know how they have all that free internet access at Apple stores?
Oh, yes.
You can just walk into an Apple store and log on.
Surf the web,
yeah. Apple stores in America, let me just get my facts straight here and words, stores in America the Apple stores, are stopping Facebook access. They're banning Facebook from their networks.
I think Facebook should... No, I won't say that.
No, you won't. No, Facebook, let's just be honest. You should be smart with Facebook. And
use it.
Yeah, shut up. I'm using it right now, and I'm talking to a lot of important people on it right now, and they've even got a ton of listeners listening to it on Facebook, and you know what? We're going to add a Facebook section for you guys soon enough. No, but seriously... Apple stores.
You can add a Facebook section.
I will add the section. You don't. It's not like you do anything anyway. Apple stores in America are doing it on a case by case basis, apparently, where they are banning Facebook users or people from using Facebook at their stores, so they can basically say, "Enjoy the Apple experience by using the Mac for all the things it was designed to be used for you to test it out on." I haven't checked if this is doing it in any of Sydney stores. Like, we've got a Chatswood store and, of course, the Sydney City store.
You could always go down to the Melbourne store. You know, use the budget that we have for the show, fly down to Melbourne and check it out.
All 10 bucks of it. Yeah.
They've doubled the budget.
They've doubled the budget. We can use... I need to call up Apple this week. I'll find out what's happening. I'll find out in a few weeks. We'll put it on the show. Because you really wouldn't want Apple to be saying, you know, hey, welcome to Apple. Try our goods. But by the way... Don't go there. It's kind of like that old rule in guitar stores. You're not allowed to play Stairway to Heaven.
No, you're not.
It's kind of like a sign that goes up, no Facebook, in the same vein as no Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah. Of course, Stairway to Heaven, it is a great piece of music, however.
It should be not played by most people. Sort of like November Rain. That probably shouldn't be played by a lot of people as well. Like Guns N' Roses.
Yeah. Okay, next story I've got. Of course, you know that the Super Bowl was held just in the last few days.
Yeah, had some great ads.
Some of the ads were absolutely... We should do a show on the Super Bowl ads one day.
That's not our area, is it?
Since when has that bothered us?
Good point.
Yeah, but in order to help the press people who were at the Super Bowl, and there are a lot of them there, they needed to set up a wireless network in the whole of the Super Bowl precinct in Florida. Now, this included the stadium where it was being held and the various hotels where... the press were staying, where the teams were staying and all that.
Imagine how big this event really is. That's a huge wireless district they need to set up.
That is a huge wireless district. Motorola were given just 1 week from go to woe to set it up and to put all the architecture in place so that the people from the press, the minions of the press, could go in and wander from location to location and know that their computers, their iPhones, whatever they needed to connected to the network, would be connected to the network totally painlessly, totally seamlessly.
1 week to set up a wireless connection that big. Motorola, did they pull it off?
They did pull it off. They had connectivity for over 4,000 users, and they had something like... I don't know what some of this gear is, but some of it I do know.
List it, and maybe someone in the audience has a clue and they can write to
That's
us and
right.
tell us.
Yeah, but they had 3 RFS 6000 switches, 41.
Not 42.
Not 42. 41 AP300 access points, 5 mesh-enabled AP5131 access points, a server, a handful of air defence sensors. It supplied secure, high-speed Wi-Fi access in all the stadium meeting areas, team hotels, the press area at the stadium, as well as three other major areas at the venue.
Here's an interesting point. No one in the gadget grill right now has actually ever heard of any of this technology, which just tells you how expensive it is.
Well, actually, I have heard of the AP300s.
Okay, well, with the exception of those, it tells you how expensive this technology is and how much they had.
That's right. Now, what they did was they set it up so that as the members of the press registered, in processing their registration, they included the MAC addresses for the gear that they were using. This is the internal hardware address that of the computers.
We're talking about something about that next week, aren't we?
We are indeed, yeah. So that they could have secure access so that as they walked into the event and opened their computer up, turned it on, whatever, it would automatically be recognised by the computer in a secure, enclosed environment, and these people could have their own network. They could have VPN connections to their home newspaper or whatever it was, media that
basically,
they were working from.
Basically, they had a great connection to their publications that was unhampered, or that was basically not hampered by anything that might be seen to be a problem in these environments, which is usually everything, to be honest.
Exactly. You know, so good on Motorola.
Absolutely.
That was a massive job.
Great job to Motorola. I normally don't give Motorola a lot of credit for things because I don't hear about them very often.
They do a lot of things in the background. I do have a lot of respect for Motorola because they do make very good quality hardware.
They do. And we saw that last year of the Motorola Rocker. Remember that?
That's right.
Yeah. Congratulations to Motorola on that one. I've got an Intel piece of news.
Okay.
Intel this week have shipped a brand new chip. Whoop-de-doo. Yeah. To give you a point.
That's news.
This show is run on MSI Wind, practically. With the exception of the radio deck, we run on netbooks the MSI Wind. And our computers run on 1.6 gigahertz Atom N270s. They shipped the N280 this week. It has 1.66 gigahertz.
So that's an improvement of 0.06 gigahertz.
Yeah.
Wow.
But the catch here is that these new chips can actually do 720p video. Now, this isn't...
Oh,
yeah, that's,
okay.
That's cool, which means your netbook is now capable of playback if you've got a big enough hard drive, because you obviously don't have a DVD drive or a Blu-ray in these things.
But what you're saying is that we could effectively, when we get a netbook equipped with that chip, we could connect, say, an external Blu-ray drive to the netbook, and we could watch Blu-ray movies on it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't reckon the video... I don't think the battery would be that brilliant. Now, people who are expecting...
You wouldn't have a battery for your external drive anyway.
Probably not. I'm talking about the laptop battery. There's another platform coming out later on this year that NVIDIA are making, the company who done 3DFX, or who bought 3DFX and have been doing 3D chips. Excuse me. They are releasing the Ion platform, which actually supports up to 1080p.
Will it Ion my shirts?
No. It's supporting... You're just filled with bad jokes today, aren't you?
What do you mean today?
It does 1080p, so and on the upside, at least this one is heading out. So if you see a netbook that supports 1.66 gigahertz, that is the new N280, and it can play back high-def video, which is kind of cool. And that means it can play back video from a Nikon D90.
That's
720p video on that.
That's pretty good.
That is really good. I've also got this other piece of news story. This is cool. The Swedish have created the first real stealth
ABBA.
Ship. No, they haven't created... they created ABBA, and we're all... Some of us are happy, and the rest of us are kind of lamenting it.
I'm all gay about it.
Wow. You came out of the closet live on the Gadget Grill. That's good, Dad. The Swedish Visby-class Corvette is the first operational stealth ship in the world. This is from Gizmodo this week. It's a water stealth ship. You know,
most ships have something to do with water.
Here you go. Here's the quote. According to the experts, the corvettes are electronically detectable at more than 8 miles in rough seas and at more than 13.5 miles in calm seas.
Okay, and what does Chevy have to say about all this?
What do you mean?
Chevrolet Corvette.
I've got no idea.
Okay. How about we play some music?
What the hell did that have to do with anything?
Nothing.
Oh, fine. We'll just play some music. This is from Britain. I picked this up earlier this week. This is an English chick who is playing some really cool music. This is Magda Sinnott with Troubles in Love. This is the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ and on the web at www.radio2rdj.com. And I'm Lee Stark.
I am Gary Stark.
Who isn't me, which is good, because if I were him, I would fear for my life.
As well you should.
And just to show you how in tune we are, just quickly before we go into our feature, to show you how in tune we are with the web, we've got people listening right now who are on Facebook. They're listening on Facebook. You hear that, Dad? People are using Facebook for good, not for evil. The purposes of good, not evil.
I'll believe you.
And we're going to give a few shout-outs. So a big shout-out to James.
Hi, James.
Hello, James. And a shout-out to Catherine.
Hi, Catherine.
And a shout-out to Tash.
Hi, Tash.
And I don't know who else is listening because you're not actually commenting. Talking to me, but if you want to find me on Facebook, I'm Lady Stark, and I'll happily approve you even if I have no idea who you are. I'm just that much of a lady person.
I might have to get myself onto Facebook. No, that'll never happen.
Yes, it will. You're on Twitter.
I know I'm on Twitter.
I don't know how you can be on Twitter. What's Twitter useful for?
Well, that's what I wanted to find out.
What'd you find out?
That it...
Yeah.
Okay. And moving on to the next topic.
And with that, we'll talk about Bluetooth. And we're talking about Bluetooth this week because there's a lot of people who actually don't know what it is.
Or what it can be used for.
And how insecure it can actually be. And everyone should know...
That's a bit like me.
Wow. More information than I need to know in the space of a night. That's good. Ladies listening, he's insecure. Bluetooth. Let's talk about that instead.
Great sense of humor.
Great sense of humor. And talks about Bluetooth. Yeah, no, it can fix your mobile phone.
I can fix your computer.
And your mobile phone is the first thing that has Bluetooth in it. It's probably the first thing most people think about. It's also one of the most insecure things on your mobile phone. Dad, do you want to give the people listening a brief description of what Bluetooth is?
Okay. Bluetooth is it's a form of networking, wireless networking, but it's very low power and over very short distances. It's described often as a personal area network. So within the area that you can reach, maybe a little bit beyond that, you know, sort of maybe the size of the studio, a little bit beyond that, you know, sort of 10, 20 meters, you can talk to other compatible devices within that range. A typical good use for it within a mobile phone, for instance, is to operate your hands-free device while you're in your car.
Not just hands-free, but speakers.
But speakers as well. We'll come to that in a moment. But yeah, so for your hands-free, for instance, I have in my car what's called a Blue Ant, and it's a...
That's a company.
It's a company, and they make a Bluetooth hands-free device for your car. It sits on the sun visor of the car. It has a speaker in it and has a microphone in it, and you turn it on and it automatically connects. You pair it to your phone. It automatically connects to it every time you get in the car and turn it on. And instead of having to hold your phone in your hand, which of course is illegal, you can receive phone calls, and you just press a button on the device to receive phone calls. You talk, and it is. In terms of Bluetooth and hands-free devices, it is amongst the best of these sorts of devices that I've used. I'm very, very happy with it. I've had it for a couple of years now. And it gives you a clear reception, clear speech and so on. It is very usable. That's one sort of Bluetooth device.
We've actually used I got to look at a device like this last year. The Motorola... it was a version 8 of or version 7 of one of their speakers, and it was a teleconferencing tool. Remember this thing? It had the JBL speakers in it.
Oh yes, yes.
That was
a very nice device because it actually made your mobile phone usable at home.
Exactly. Yes, which was cool because I've got no reception in my place. I've got to put my mobile by the window and then connect this thing to it. But yeah, that's one of the many uses. I'll also think about things like these earpieces that everyone uses. They're all Bluetooth and they do enable you to put your mobile phone in your pocket and still use it without the bloody wires, which are very important.
Now, there's another important aspect of this that we should actually cover as well. In talking about the health of our listener...
Keep in mind, we have three listeners.
We have a few listeners out there that we know of. A lot of people are worried that there may be radiation coming from your phone handset.
Not just that.
Yeah, but if you... And that could cause things like brain tumours and so on. If you're using a Bluetooth device instead, you don't have your mobile phone near your head up to your ear and so on, and it may help reduce the incidence of brain cancer.
You do
so
have,
people
you,
think.
You do have it near your pocket, and depending on what your mobile phone is, that might induce some sort of groinal cancer. Yes.
Yes.
So that's
a different problem.
We should also quickly talk about bluejacking.
Okay.
This is something a lot of people don't know about, and this is a shame because they probably should.
Be careful where you go with this story, please.
Yeah, I will. Bluejacking is hacking for your mobile phone. Now, what happens is a lot of people leave Bluetooth on. It's acceptable. You know, you have Bluetooth devices like the hands-free devices, like the hands-free devices, actually. Yes, I'm not really going anywhere with that one.
No.
Yeah. But there are
other circular reference.
There are other Bluetooth devices. And if you've left your mobile phone on and they are connected, you're leaving yourself at risk because bluejackers, people who hack using Bluetooth, can happily get into your phone. And one of the most common occurrences of this is to be driving along, and I've seen this one used a few times, and to suddenly receive a message. It's on your screen, just like that. And it'll ask you a random question. If you start responding to it, you've basically given the person access to your phone.
Not a good thing.
No, and it's a really hard thing to look out for. I think there's only one piece of software on the market at the moment that protects against this. I think it's a Kaspersky program that's made for Symbian mobile phones.
I seem to recall one time driving through the ride area and using my Nokia that I had that happen to me.
Mm. And in talking to one of the guys at Kaspersky Labs about it before, they've said that they predict this to happen a lot more frequently for Apple iPhone users as well in the future. Obviously, if you've got a closed-off operating system like a lot of the closed-off operating systems that are perpetuated by Motorola or Sony Ericsson in their devices.
Symbian, etc.?
Well, no, Symbian's not closed off per se, because you can still get into it. But we're talking about the heavy proprietary stuff that most people don't know about. Then they're not going to as easily get into that, even though a lot of them have Java on them. However, Windows Mobile, easy target because it's Windows. It's easy to break. It's not really Microsoft's fault per se. It's just that it's got a lot of holes. Android could have the same problem when that's produced.
Well, of course, one of the problems with Windows and so on, of course, is that it is so popular.
Yeah.
So pervasive that it makes it an easier target just by virtue of its popularity.
But one of the good things about Bluetooth is how easily you can connect it to pretty much anything. Like if you've
it's
got
a lot easier now than it used to be.
Yeah, like if you've got a computer with Bluetooth, if you've got a laptop in the from the past 2-3 years, you have Bluetooth inbuilt, okay? That's just how it works. Yeah, and if you've got a desktop, I'm sorry, you probably don't, but you can get a $20 Bluetooth USB.
$10 USB dongle plugs in, and you've got Bluetooth on your desktop.
I'm just going to say one of the cool things you can do with it. If you have a Nintendo Wii, which I do, and I know a lot of people who do, then you can take your Nintendo Wii, you can take your Bluetooth, you can take your Wiimote, which is actually Bluetooth enabled. That's how it connects to your Nintendo Wii. And if you save your Nintendo Mi avatar, that little version of you you create for your Nintendo Wii, if you save it to your Wiimote, you can actually take it off from your Wiimote onto your computer and upload a picture of yourself, upload a picture of your Mi. It's one of the many things you can do.
That is cool.
You can even connect your Wiimote to your computer and use it as a joystick.
That is cool.
And a lot of people have. They're using it in games for their computer because the Wiimote is an accelerometer. You can connect your Sony PlayStation 3 controller because, once again, that too is a Wiimote, is a Bluetooth controller as well. Interestingly, though, have you heard that when you go to a hospital, they tell you to turn off your computers, turn off your devices?
Yep.
Ever wondered why?
Because it interferes with their equipment.
And because a lot of their equipment actually runs on Bluetooth these days.
Oh.
Digital radio signal. I mean, that's just how it is.
That's interesting to know.
It is. Should we play some music?
I think we should play Sam and Dave.
Hold on, I'm coming. Check this out.
You've been working hard all morning and now it's time to relax for lunch. What better place than with your pals in the shed? And what better shed than the one right here on Tuesdays on 2RDJ between 1 and 3?
So please come and join Peter Worthington, that was him, and me, Gary Stark. We're your pals in the shed on 2RDJ FM 88.1.
And don't forget your lunch.
Radio 2RDJ, 88.1, this is the Gadget Grill, and just back announcing, we had Sam and Dave, Hold On, I'm Coming.
I love that song.
I know you love that song.
That song just takes me way, way, way back.
Yeah, I put that in there for you. And
thank you.
And right after that, what we just
played. I was surprised when I saw what that piece of music was, and
I think you expected crap, didn't you?
I absolutely did, yeah.
You've got to understand that when I program the music here, because it's my show, and that last song was Strong Enough by Hanson.
I was surprised. Hanson from Oklahoma.
Yeah, Hanson, the guys who did bop, that thing, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing that again, ever.
No, good.
Yeah. So that was them. They've all grown up and they sound good.
They sound very good. That, you know, that was when I was auditioning the track yesterday, going through preparing the show, I was just so surprised at that.
Do you want to know what's disturbing? I own the physical version of that CD.
Well, that's very good. I think it's good that you're supporting the purchase of music, and I think that is very good.
No, but the disturbing part is I own a Hanson CD now.
I know, yeah. I know. Well, you're going to get kicked out of the house tonight. Do you realise that?
Cool. Well, probably not for the Hanson thing, though. Probably something else I'll do later.
Probably.
Yeah. And on the Gadget Grill, of course, we're going to look at some reviews. So we're playing a little intro that normally goes associated with it. It kind of seems a bit delayed anyway. Anyway, we're talking about... You're talking about it, actually. I've got something to talk about afterwards, but you're going to talk about this cool gadget we've got here.
Yeah, it is from Altec Lansing. Altec Lansing...
It's the T612,
T612. The Altec Lansing make good speakers. I've always been very, very happy playing with Altec Lansing. We have a few pieces of Altec Lansing gear at home.
I've got a lot of Altec Lansing headphones. In fact, I use them to master this recording when it goes to podcasting.
Right. They make very good quality equipment. And the T612 is no exception. This is a docking station for your iPhone or iPod. iPod Touch. It has a 60-watt RMS amplifier built into it. On the top of the device, there is a control panel with an on-off switch, plus and minus controls for volume, and a bass and treble control set. It comes with a little remote control as well. The remote control is very, very small, but it feels quite solid in the hand. It's got nice big buttons and not too many of them. Hold it up to the microphone.
Let me just beat it against the mic so people can hear it. There we go.
Okay. You just destroyed the microphone.
No, I didn't. It's well made.
Okay. What you do is you plug this into your walls, your power supply, so that it gets power. You drop your iPhone or iPod Touch into the docking station. You turn on your iPhone, you turn on the device, and you listen to music coming from your iPod. And the music is of very good quality.
I got to say, the only thing about this I didn't like...
Sorry, let me rephrase that. The playback is of very good quality. The music may be crap because you don't have any taste.
I've got taste, but we just played Hanson, didn't we?
Okay, shall we stop there?
Yeah, no, I've got to be honest, I love this thing. I think, and when I picked it up today, we're moving it to the station, as you can see a picture of it later on the website, I thought it was really well built, like this rubbery sort of feeling on the back.
It feels very good in the hand for a device that's supposed to sit on a desktop or on a bookshelf or something.
Yeah, there's one thing I think it should have, and that's an answer button on the actual system itself, like the remote. I think there should be an answer button so that when you answer, like when you get a phone call, you hit answer, you don't actually have to go up to your iPod or your iPod or your iPhone rather and try and, you know, swipe across to answer with the...
It needs a long-range speakerphone built in.
Yeah, it does. It needs that to be perfect. It's an incredible device.
It's a very good device. The other things that I think are missing, I'd like to see a clock display on the face of it so that you can, you know, sort of while it's running, you can just sort of see what the time is.
It would be the true iPod dock because a lot of the other ones have that and all.
Yeah. Yeah, but what I was doing over the weekend, for instance, earlier today, I was listening to streaming radio coming in through the iPhone and into this device from Los Angeles in California, Long Beach, California. I was listening to a blues show being broadcast live across the internet, just the same as we broadcast live across the internet on www.radio2rdj.com.
Wow.
Did you like that?
That was a nice segue.
Was that a good...
What would have been nicer had you said before, I was listening to Radio 2RDJ while I was doing that, but you just promoted someone else's show.
No, I didn't promote anyone else's show.
That's true, you didn't. Can I talk briefly about a device that was launched this week?
Actually, you can talk longer than briefly if you wish. Yeah.
That's cool. I'll talk about two things. I got to play some video games this week from THQ.
Some people have a hard job.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be honest, there's some really cool stuff coming up. There's a game with 50 Cent. It looks fun. You get to blow a lot of people up. So if you like blowing people up, it's your sort of thing.
The game costs 50 cents?
No, the game does not cost 50 cents. You wish. For the Xbox and PlayStation 3. What I actually got to see this week was the launch of the first Android phone in Australia. Android is this new platform being done by Google. Which is basically, it's a competitor in the touchscreen area. I mean, Symbian have a touchscreen phone on the way in Australia from Nokia.
Right.
There's the BlackBerry touchscreen phone, which I'm not going to say much about because I don't think it's good at all.
Okay, if you can't say something nice, say nothing.
Well, I didn't really say nothing on that one, did I? There's the iPhone, of course, and there's Windows Mobile stuff. And there's also Java platforms being pushed out by companies like LG and Samsung.
Okay.
This is Android phone.
What's the name of it?
It's called the HTC Dream.
So we're talking about, do Androids dream of...
electric sheep. They do. And when they do, they dream them in the form of that. In case you didn't know, do Androids dream of electric sheep? Sheep is the name for Blade Runner, the actual book.
It is the actual book.
That Philip Dick made.
Yes.
It's an interesting device. I got to say, there's some really cool technology in it. And when it comes out in mid-February, it's definitely going to be one of those things you'll want to look at. Like, I really quite enjoyed the compass feature with Google Street View, because it's a Google phone. You've got applications like Google Maps and whatnot in it. And when you go to Google Street View, as you move your phone around, the camera alignment changes with it, and it's really cool. Like, it's what GPS probably should be. I think that it's... I'm getting dizzy. Yeah, I'm not sure how good it's actually going to be in real life, and we'll find out in a week or two when we bring it into the gadget grill. But it looked kind of cool. We should probably mention quickly that if you head to www.gadgetgrill.com.au, you will still find... the competition that we've got running.
Oh, yes.
Where you can win the portable apps on a USB stick. We're very generous with that, you know, because portable apps is free and the USB stick's not. So we're giving you a USB stick with some stuff on it, basically.
But with the budget that we've been allocated for this show, we are able to afford to give away some of these.
That's right. And
what do they have to do?
You just have to go to the website this week. I've removed the entry keyword. You just have to go to the website and click on the button that says Win Stuff. So head to www.gadgetgrill.com.au. Hit on the button that says Win Stuff. Fill out the form. Hit submit, basically. That's it.
Okay, so they've got to hit on the button rather than hitting on me.
That would be a good thing, because hitting on you, it would just be disgusting, yes.
Okay. That's two references today, isn't it?
You're doing really well, yeah.
Okay.
We've also got
got
a great useless gadget next week. It's just this wonderful useless gadget, and all I can say is don't clean your teeth for it. I've probably given it away, but I haven't. It's so weird, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's such a weird one. It's one of those things you're going to have to stick around for. I'd love to get them as prizes, to be honest.
Well, you could.
All three listeners can have one each.
That'd be an interesting concept. Getting them as prizes. I'm not sure that that's a really good idea.
No, but push our listeners away.
But the other thing, of course, is that in doing so, you'd be making a statement about perhaps the dental hygiene of our.
No, I'm not. I would not be doing that. No. We've also got a big prize coming up in a few weeks, haven't we? Next week,
next week we're going to be announcing something that's going to be going station-wide.
Yeah, it's cool.
We can't talk about it now, so don't pay attention.
No, ignore us.
And next week we will hopefully have an announcement, and hopefully Jason will get all the support work done for it, and Andrew will do the website changes that we need on the...
And then everyone who listens to this on the air and over the web can... really enter. I mean, it's a really good idea. We need to work out how this actually works, I guess. But
minor
details. But yeah, listen for that. That's coming up next week. We're going to launch this really cool competition.
Right.
We should probably talk about next week in general for us.
Very quickly.
Very, very quickly. We're going to be talking... Well, tonight you heard us talk about local Wi-Fi, which is Bluetooth.
Personal area networks.
Next week we're going to be talking about Wi-Fi in general.
Yeah, how to set up a Wi-Fi network, how you should do it, what you need to do, and a couple of points of attention, you know, sort of as to how you might go about doing it.
It's also a Valentine's Day special, so, I'm sure we might have someone else in the studio sharing the love with us.
Oh, you never know.
You never know.
You never know who turns up in this place on a Sunday night.
Especially not with the grill. I mean, we've got good stuff on the grill, don't we? So have a good week. I'm Lee Stark.
I am Gary Stark.
This is Dr. Nigel Kennedy, one of our favourite musicians, with Midnight Blue. Have a good week, everybody.
We'll see you next week on the Gadget Grill.